O king, exhibit thy prowess. Before he of the Vrishni race, Krishna, cometh with the Yadava host into the city of Drupad, carrying everything before him to restore the Pandavas to their paternal kingdom. Wealth, every article of enjoyment, kingdom, there is nothing that Krishna may not sacrifice for the sake of the Pandavas. Right? So even the demons understand Krishna's dedication to his devotees. They just don't take advantage of it. The illustrious Bharata had acquired the whole earth by his prowess alone. Indra hath acquired sovereignty of the three worlds by prowess alone. O king, prowess is always applauded by the Kshatriyas. O bull among Kshatriyas, prowess is the cardinal virtue of the brave. Let us, therefore, O monarch, with our large army, consisting of four kinds of forces, grind Drupad without loss of time, and bring hither the Pandavas. Indeed, the Pandavas are incapable of being discomforted by any policy of conciliation, of gift, of wealth, and bribery, or disunion. Vanquish them, therefore, by thy prowess, and vanquish them by thy prowess, rule this whole wide earth. O monarch, I see not any other means by which we may accomplish our end. So what is this when he's mentioning policy of conciliation, gift of wealth and bribery, or of disunion? What is that in connection with?
Duryodhana was mentioning all this before, that he would try these things.
Yes, okay. He mentioned that, but then what was the specific? There's a group of policy.
Is it diplomacy?
Yes, it's diplomacy, but it's a specific group of... Samadana, Beda, Danda. Uh-huh. Right? So he's mentioned three here. He's saying we should use the fourth. Because he's saying that policy of conciliation, that's Sama, right? You speak nicely, you try to get everybody to work nicely together and everything. Then dana, that's by giving of wealth or by bribery, you know, either up front or under the counter, like that. Or of disunion, that's beta, right? You split the party. So that can either mean you point out you do this or this will happen. You show what's the difference. Or you are splitting parties that can make alliances, right? So he's saying none of these will work because you've tried them before, they haven't worked. And they were weak when you tried it before and they didn't work. Now they're strong, so now it'll work even less. So therefore, danda is the only thing. That's the best one of the Kshatriyas, right? Kshatriyas, it says, use conciliation or fighting, because those two are straightforward, right? The other two then are very diplomatic and never know what the outcome is. You can give gifts, you may win them over, you may not. You know, if you bribe them, because you can bribe them, they can also still cheat you. It's not that, oh, he's dishonest enough to be bribed, but honest enough to not cheat you. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. And then beta means you can split up the parties, but you're not really sure if they've actually been split. Or you may also show them the consequences, but they may maybe not be fully worried about it. Right? You know, you could say, this: if you don't do this, this will happen, but people still maintain their determination. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, for the Kshatriyas, the straightforward is you speak nicely or fight, like that. But if those two aren't the appropriate use, they'll use the other two. But it's considered those are the best of the four. And of those, then conciliation's the best, because in war, you never know what will be the reaction. You know, you never know what will be the response. Vaishampayana continued, hearing these words of Radheya, Dhritarashtra, endued with great strength, applauded him highly. The monarch then addressed him and said, thou, O son of Asuta, art gifted with great wisdom and accomplished in arms. This speech, therefore, favoring the exhibition of prowess, suiteth thee well. But let Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, and you too, take counsel together and adopt that proposal which may lead to our benefit. Vaishampayana continued, then King Dhritarashtra called unto him all those celebrated ministers and took counsel with him. Right, so he has his own material viewpoint, his own material needs. So then but at the same time, as he knows the Shastras, he knows what to do. Therefore, he wants to take counsel from the others. Right, because that's the appropriate thing to do. What he wants to do may or may not be appropriate. Does that make sense? So we can see the difference here between one's motive and the methods used. Does that make sense? Like that. So the idea is you use the highest possible of whatever you can use. Right? Best is you're using the highest method and you have the highest motive. But if not, you use the highest method even if your motive is less. Because a higher method is meant for a higher motive. Right? Does that make sense? So even if you're using a higher method with a lower motive, the idea is with time you'll see this is foolish. So then what do you do when it's foolish? Right? Give it up. Right? Isn't it? Let us say you're using that of Dharma, but you're using it for Artha or Kama. That's not so good. But better using Dharma for Artha and Kama than using Artha for Artha. Right? Does that make sense? Not that you don't follow those rules, but they always have to be in what is in support of the higher. Does that make sense? Just like when you have the system of bhakti. Bhakti is complete. Body, mind, words are engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So body will be, how do you say, your karma. Your mind will be your yoga, your dhyan. And your words will be your intelligence, will be your gyan. Right? Does that make sense? So karma, gyan, and dhyan are fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Right? That's bhakti. Does that make sense? You have a question? So then what comes up is that somebody is not interested in bhakti. And by conditioning, they're more inclined towards body, mind, or words. Does that make sense? Or they're more inclined towards karma, gyan, or dhyan. Yeah? So then being inclined in that way, then, how do you say? Yeah, being inclined in that way, then what happens is it's not complete in itself because it's part of a bigger process. Does that make sense? Karma is not a complete system. It's part of bhakti. Jnana is not a complete system. It's part of bhakti. Dhyana is not a complete system. It's part of bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Mother Yashoda is engaging physically in service to Krishna, but she's also using her intelligence how to organize everything, and she's always meditating on Krishna. Right? And if she thinks of Krishna, she thinks of what service can I do for Krishna? You understand? So there's never any time where they just sit and do dhyan, or just do gyan, or just do karma. It always goes together. It's always mixed. Right? Now, if you take part of that system out, right, like in the material world, people follow the path of karma. It's not complete. But you take karma in, it means the karma aspect in bhakti, remove Krishna, then what do you have? Right? You have activities. So people want to do something, right? You have to be motivated to do karma, right, or gyan or dhyan. So then, therefore, you put the heavenly planets in there. Right? It's the lower of the three, right? You have heavenly planets, you have Brahman, and then you have the spiritual world, right? These are what you can get. These are goals, isn't it? Right? So in other words, material perfection in the way of, sensual facility, then that will be karma, right? Then in the way of, intellectual perfection, then that will be liberation, right? And then from dhyan, then you can get siddhi, right? You can get siddhi, mystic siddhi, right? In other words, karma will give you the grosser, and yoga will give you the subtle, right? Does that make sense? So then it becomes, you have to fill it in. You understand? So that means let's just for discussion's sake, take it that karma is one-third, gyan is one-third, and dhyan is one-third, right? So then if that's the case, if I remove gyan from the bhakti process, I'm missing two-thirds. Does that make sense? So I have to fill that in. Does that make sense? That's karmakanda. When it's been filled in so it's 100%, that's karmakanda. So the elements that are of karma that are common with bhakti are also common with the karmakandis. Right? Therefore, getting up in the morning, taking your bath, chanting your Gayatris, you know, following the social system properly and all these different things, Varnashram, that's common between us and the Karmis. But the difference is that two-thirds that they then put into going to the heavenly planets and enjoying and all that, we put into Krishna. Does that make sense? So in the same way, Gyan, the impersonalists, they follow the same path, right, as the devotees, but they leave out the karma, they leave out the bhakti, right, and they just take the Gyan aspect, right? Does that make sense? So you have to fill that in with the two-thirds. Therefore, then they have all their different things and going to the Brahman and being Narayan and all that kind of stuff. Right? So, therefore, the path of liberation that they follow is the same as us. Right? In other words, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, we follow the same as the Karmis. But we do it for Krishna. They do it for going to the heavenly planets. Moksha, we follow the same as the impersonalists. Right? Or let's say, to put it in a better perspective, the Karmis follow our same path for Dharma, Artha, and Kama, and they add extra stuff to it. And the impersonalists follow the same path as us when it comes to moksha. Does that make sense? And the yogis, the advanced levels, what is it? Yoga Rukshu? That's the higher? You have Yoga Rudha and Yoga Rukshu. Is the higher. Okay, Yoga Rudha means the dhyan and samadhi. We follow that of the yogis. Right? Or let's say they follow that from ours. And then they fill in with the other six. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So then actually, you could probably say it's probably better you say it's a quarter, right? Because that gives an indication six out of eight, because you have karma, gyan, dhyan, and then bhakti. So that's, you have four. So bhakti is actually the whole system. So one quarter. So three quarters are filling it. That means there's a lot that you could remove from their systems. Right? Okay? And then the yogi is that, and then there's bhakti. Does this make sense? But the system is all the one path. Krishna's path, there's one path. Karma, then gyan, dhyan, and then it ends up in the spiritual world. In bhakti. Right? It's only one path. But you're taking part of that path and trying to make that part complete. Right? And on that path, you can either be using it to go towards Krishna. In other words, we're using karma to go towards Krishna. The karmis are using it to go away from Krishna. Right? The path, the part of gyan, we're using to go towards Krishna, get out of the material world. Right? The materialists, the impersonalists are using it to go away from Krishna. Right? The yoga, then we're using it to go towards Krishna. The yogis are using it to go away. Does that make sense? Because you can go either way on the path. Is this clear?
Right. So the karma is actually they're higher what we call Westerners, because they have a goal, at least the heavenly planets.
Higher than?
The Westerners that they work with no even a goal. They don't.
No, they don't really have. So that's why Prabhupada said a Kali Bhakta is better than a practicing Christian. Because the practicing Christian, though they have some good sentiment and some faith, they actually don't understand the process. Therefore, they don't understand the process of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And so they can't get it quite right. And sometimes if they do get it right, then you risk getting burnt at the stake. Right? You know, so that's anybody who did get close to right then was told, you know, excuse me, but, you know, don't go there. Right? You know, that's the historical, he said, like that. Because some have come up that, you know, we actually have a conjugal relationship with the Lord, we have this, that, and then they're all tapped on the shoulder and said, you know, told, excuse me, but, you know, you give this up or, you know, you get, we have a barbecue. Right? So, then in this, then, how do you say? Right? Is this very clear? How this quote unquote yoga ladder works, right? It's only one ladder. It's just different aspects of the same thing. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the idea. So then, in here, then, in applying this, then we're trying to, how we got into this was so we understand this principle that in with your devotional service, you may be using a higher element with a lower motive. Right? Just like the karma, why should someone follow karma if they're not following bhakti? Because at least it's the same process as someone who follows bhakti. So if you add Krishna into their process, they're nice devotees. They know how to practice sadhana, right? They have faith in guru, sadhu, and shastra, right? They're well situated in the social system, right? So you have a very nice, pious person who now is a devotee. Or if they don't follow, then you have a person with impious background trying to follow the life of someone who's pious. Not as easy, right? So that's why we don't have any problem in them being a karmi if they're not a devotee. But we say, but why be a karmi when you can be a devotee? Right? But we'll say better be a karmi than someone who's sinful. Right? Better to be pious than impious. Right? But what's real piety is devotional piety. Does that make sense? So that's why sometimes we'll speak very harshly about the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis. That's because they're following the same path as us, but doing it without devotion. So therefore, what's the use? Right? Does that make sense? Right? So then, that's why we say it. But that they're following that path, we don't have anything to say about it. That's a mistake devotees make. Because we work on this American system 100% to zero. Right? So therefore, if we have anything bad to say about it, they're just bad. Right? It's really interesting, actually, is that the community, that their natural drama and movies is very melodramatic, they're actually able to see more differences in human existence. And that community that claims that melodrama is not real and everything like that, and they their dramas are more real, so-called, more exact, but they're the ones that can't make any distinction in real life. In other words, in the movie I can make distinction, but in real life I can't. It's 100% or nothing, right? But in the community, especially, just most of your third world, therefore their stuff is always more melodramatic. Your bad is bad, your good is good, everything's like that. But they can make distinction that someone can make a mistake. Isn't that interesting? Very, very interesting. So they consider themselves very sophisticated, but actually, socially, they're very, very dysfunctional.
Dry.
Huh?
Dry.
Dry, yes, dry. That's the general... Anything other than the first world, anything else other than that, we'll all call the first world dry. That's the one common thing they'll call about it, right? Like that. They all have different names. I forget what they all are. I think in Spanish you call them gringos. Chinese, I forget what they call them. Japanese have a name. Everybody's got a name for them. But the whole point is they're the most dry people because they can't make any distinction. Therefore, socially, they're very, very at a disadvantage. Very, very at a disadvantage. But unfortunately, that's the leading, so-called leading influence on the world. So the thing is being able to see this distinction. This is very, very important. Because if you can see that, then you can preach. Right? Because otherwise you have, like let's take someone like Subhag Maharaj. Right? High-grade Indian family. Like that. Gone to London. He studied in London. He met Prabhupada. Then when he became a devotee, one of the specific instructions Prabhupada gave to him, it says, all the different culture and all those things that you learn from your parents, that you're joining Krishna conscious, don't give those up. Right? Otherwise, devotees, even though they're trained, will give it up. Right? Because Krishna conscious is different. I've seen that. Boys from nice families Indian families that know how to serve prasad, they're out there serving prasadam like Westerners. Completely terrible, have no idea. And when you ask them, now if you went home and you had a marriage at your house and you were serving prasad, on behalf of your you know, whoever it was in your family, would you serve like this? They said, oh, absolutely not. They said, you know, how would you serve? And they'd explain it, which is perfectly right. He says, why don't you do that as a devotee? Oh, because as a devotee, you know, we throw out all those material considerations because devotional service is something different. Right? You understand? This is probably one of the most common things that all devotees do all over the world. Right? Is you throw out everything, which is a good thing in that you only want to do what's connected to Krishna. So it's the principle is good, but the application is something's being missed. Right? In other words, if anything that works in this world, it's because it's connected to the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is the only thing that works. There is no other system that works. But you can call it the Vedic culture or not, just like you can call the Vedic culture bhakti or not. Does that make sense? You call it bhakti, we call it devotional service. If you don't call it bhakti, then it's karma, jnana, jnana. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way, is then these things of that, we can follow them or not. Does that make sense? That overlay? Right? If it's in the Western culture, if it's working, it's only working because it's something reflected from the Vedic culture. There isn't something else. They can't make up something different. Right? A Westerner can't make up laws of nature. Then the laws of nature exist. You observe them, you're smart enough to observe them, follow them, it works. You don't observe them nice, you don't follow them, it doesn't work. But there's not another system. There's only God's system. Right? Therefore, anything of any good is recognized, right? As we saw before in the Kshatriyas. Even the enemy does something exceptional in the way of fighting, all the Kshatriyas from both sides applaud. Because it's something exceptional. Right? Because it's actually properly following to the best the Vedic system. Right? So someone is expert at something, even on the material platform, that's respected. Why? Because it's actually coming from the Veda. But not because it's they're expert at, or because they're Western, or they're not devotees, or, you know, they're this, that, blah. No, just because they're following God's rules nicely. Of course, you need to know God's rules to appreciate it. Otherwise, you won't know what to appreciate. But the point is that principle is there. Does that make sense? Right. Okay, so now to bring it down to the point, right? So, right, 20 minutes of preliminaries. So, the point being made here is in the devotional process, that in the same way as you may even if you're following a lower path, a lower goal, you still use the superior path to get it, because it's God's system. You don't use another system. Right? So even if devotees have material desire and needs, they still follow the same devotional path to get it. Does that make sense? Otherwise, one feels bad. Okay, here's two options. I'm following the devotional process. I have mundane needs, right? And I'm intelligent enough to understand this is not good. So what are my two choices I could do? Right? One is I could keep following the devotional path and, you know, fulfilling my needs through that, but trying to understand that this is not good, and slowly, slowly, gradually, removing that from the heart, right? That's one process, right? What's the other one that generally devotees take?
Bloop.
Well, that's another thing. But I'm saying even within devotional service.
Ignore the
needs? They ignore the needs, but that doesn't last, yes? Yeah, they lead two lives. In other words, they drop the devotional process when it comes to those needs, because they think it's cheating, which is okay. But what actually, if I am cheating, I should be following the devotional process. I have a lower need. I'm fulfilling that through that higher process. That shouldn't be done. So what should be the actual... So I can, therefore, give up... I can either give up the process or give up the need. So which of the two would be the better decision?
Give up the need.
Someone said process. Right? You understand? Give up the need. That's what it's for.
Just gradual, Maharaj.
It's gradual. But giving up the need means it's done gradually. But still, that takes intelligence to recognize I have a problem and I'm going to work with it. It may take me years, I'm going to work with it. But due to false ego, we won't do that. And we'll say, I have a problem, so I give up the process. I'm not qualified for devotional service. So, and, you know, so what are you qualified? What is the soul qualified for? What material activity is the soul qualified for? Right? That's even more illusion, right? It's only qualified for spiritual activity. That's all its qualification. So then there's that. Or I take it as that, oh yes, you know, I have these needs, so they're real, so therefore I'll just deal with my material needs. Right? But we notice neither of those is actually intelligent or the process of devotional service. Does that make sense? The process is follow the devotional service. If you feel bad, that's to inspire you to move progressively. Because if to not feel bad, I give it up, therefore, what's going to be my benefit? Because the material is not going to benefit me, because if it did, why am I a devotee? Right? Think about it. You were in the material world before, engaged in all the nice material activities. Did it work for you? No. If it didn't work then, why will it work now? Right? We keep saying Kali Yuga gets worse. That means it'll be even more hard to be a good karmi. Right? Does that make sense? Ms. Leela Eyeball? Ms. Leela? Yes, this side. Yeah, not her and all that kind of stuff. Okay?
No,
yes.
Generally, sometimes we think the state of Krishna consciousness it's like something that you achieve and then remain there, like, let's say, Brahman, you know, for some.
Yeah.
But actually, by what you're saying, it, actually, state of Krishna consciousness, at least here, is a process.
It's a process. That's the whole
thing. That over there also is a process.
Yeah. It's always. The whole thing is to come to the point of a process. That's what we're discussing. Prabhupada makes this the point of that. It's the senses that are the central thing, the mind and centras. Not the eight elements. Generally, we think of the material world, we think of the eight elements. But it's actually the mind and senses, and sensata, that's the main. The 16 is the main. Because that is process, that's active. So, this idea of I've attained Krishna consciousness, therefore I chant my 16 rounds, no problem, I follow the four regular principles, I can get up, take my bath, I'm quite regulated, I have my service, now everything is fine. But that's actually the impersonal influence. Because then what it is, it's aham, I am. But what are you attached to? Right? There's I and mine. Okay, so the I is I'm a devotee, I'm doing all these things. But that's all, but what's mine? But you see those I's are also very strong in what's mine. They have their apartment, they have their car, that means so along with working out their 16 rounds, four regular principles in the service, they've also worked out their house, their car, their insurance, their wife, their kids' education, their wife's saris, their wife's bangles, you know, all these different things. They've also worked that out. But that's finessed, because if you bring it up, it's like talking to Westerners about death. They just don't like it. It's not a conversation to discuss. Anything else, but not death. So same with devotees. Death you can discuss. Sense gratification facility? No. Taboo. We don't discuss it. Because it's just like Westerners. Death, everybody knows you're going to die, but no one wants to hear about it. Devotees know everybody's got to deal with sense gratification, but no one wants to discuss it. Right? So therefore then, but the senses are the central point of devotional service. So that means a very major part of devotional service is left out. It's just left out because it's just, you can't discuss it because if I discuss it, I have to give it up. And by this 100% process, all or nothing, means if I have to give it up, I have to give it up right now, right? Yesterday. Why yesterday? Because that is the process of women, right? Women want something, they should have it yesterday. Right? I decided today that I needed it yesterday. Right? That's the process. So the men being influenced by women not being trained as brahmacharis, they think in the same way. So therefore, if it's got to be all absolute. So which is nice. And that determination is there. Like that. But the aspect of the gradual That's there. So you have to have the combination of having that means the one, because we're looking at it specifically coming from the American culture. The American culture is, you know, it's you have two platforms, puritanical or it's hedonism. There's nothing in between. So if you're truth and right, then you're Puritan, then you know, you go for it. So that determination actually of all the communities of the world, that is their advantage. That is the American advantage. Because they'll take anything and throw it out the window for something they believe in. But other communities in the world are a little more practical, and I could throw it out, but then what am I going to do about it? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that is their shining point. But if they could add to that the maturity of being able to see the gradual process that other communities of the world have, bingo, then you'd have something very special. Just like the other communities of the world can add to their, ability, that American aspect of just throwing yourself completely into something you believe in, right? Rather than throwing yourself into McDonald's or Levi jeans or, you know, something else like that. You know, also American, but, you know, a little bit off the mark, you know, like that. Not as useful like that. So does that make sense?
Interesting how Lord Krishna, he's dealing with Kshatriyas who normally know how to gratify the senses to the best. And he's dealing with Vaishnavas. He likes all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
The people feel peaceful as a Shudra, as a Vaishnava, and their position. Yeah. Whereas devotees, we are top Brahmanas, uh-huh. We are nothing. We don't want to show anything in between. Attraction to something or to anything particular field.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the gradual aspect that you said.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We were talking about giving up needs. Is there some needs which we can transform?
It was basically any need can be transformed. What can't be transformed? Yes. You just have to know how to transform it.
For example, if somebody like as a carving, like to drive a car.
Yeah, so then you drive your car nicely for Krishna. Name me the temple that has a car that's well taken care of. Name me one temple. That's all I ask. One.
Krishna takes care.
So therefore, there's plenty of opportunity. We have 400 centers around the world. They all have cars. So you're talking thousands and thousands of cars. So that means how many people you know really are attached to cars and really know how to deal with cars, right? There's one or two here and there.
The Chicago temple, a guy, I forget his name, but he's been there for like 30 years, and he's a really good mechanic.
So that's one. Okay, here we have one. So there's plenty of opportunity.
The Houston temple, there's a mechanic.
Okay, that's two. Yeah, we're moving up here.
Mechanic Maharaj.
Yeah, but he's the mechanic. He's doing it. But if he wasn't there, the temple authorities would not maintain the car. It's only because of these two devotees they have cars that run. You know what I'm saying? So no problem. He's not part of the temple. Okay, so then scratch that one off. So his car is good, but the temple car.
Well, he's from India, but he sells liquor, so he has like this like kind of guilt because he knows what his occupation is sinful. So whatever the devotee is needing, he just gets it.
He's from India.
Okay, that's it. Okay, you understand? So there's nothing you can't engage. Opportunities are there, but it's a matter of leadership seeing what are the opportunities and engaging it, right? First thing is when someone walks in the door and wants to be a devotee, should find out the background, find out what they're good at, and then engage them according to that, right? Rather than whoever walks in the door, you have, you know, how you say, you know, there's one occupation, one endeavor, you know, one, you know, like it says in Bhagavad Gita, that's hand him a bucket, right? Do you realize that there's a building over here, Samkirtan building, right? The Vaishnava Academy. It was really originally designed that anyone who's distributed books for 5 years then could come and stay some time there and get trained and have facility there. 5 years. How many devotees in this movement would be able to stay there? Okay, here's one. But you better know how many would be able to stay there. How many have distributed books for 5 years?
saying you have. Catch the idea that I'm throwing out. I'm saying it's a generic thing. How many would be able to? Not that many. Some have distributed for a few months, few years. Some have never. They just go out and collect money. That, you know what I'm saying? But there are those who are committed to that, but it wouldn't be that many. You know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of opportunity, right? How many, you go to any temple, how great is the prasad? Right? So there's plenty of cooks. The kirtans, you know, how people dress, the deities. I mean, what can't you engage? What fineness of human life or what activity you can't engage? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So that's the grosser. We're talking here, the same thing, but also about the subtle, just within your own life, is that all these different things you engage properly. Right? So therefore, one follows the higher process, though one has lower desires. But the idea is by following that higher process to please Krishna, those lower desires will be purified with time, if you keep that goal in mind. You don't keep it in mind, they won't be. Does that make sense? So that's the important element. That's because Bhagavatam opens, you should follow Dharma. But don't follow Dharma for Artha and Kama. But the principle is that, if you are going to, then follow it. Therefore we have Artha Shastra, we have Kama Shastra like this. Is that it's followed in connection with Dharma Shastra. Right? You know, here we see is that they're following now the principles of Artha and Niti. Right? The politics. They're taking that as more principle than Dharma. Right? Especially Duryodhana, he's taking a lower level of it. More subtle, but lower. Right? Karna's taking a little higher, but still, they're not necessarily taking the point that actually they belong on the throne, and if we supported them, then how powerful we would be? Right? If they all just accepted Yudhishthira as the king, they all got behind him, who could give them trouble? Right? They'd be so prosperous. But because they won't accept that, they have to drop out of the Dharma into to Artha to function. But it still works, right? It's still part of the same path. Does that make sense? But it becomes disconnected. It's not as well connected. It's not as well situated. But it's complete in itself. You follow karma, you will be elevated. But if you follow karma in connection with Krishna, then you'll be elevated to Krishna, not just the heavenly planets. Does that make sense? We didn't lose anybody here.
And the karma will be purified.
Karma will be purified, yes. So nice. Yeah, karma is purified. Yes?
So is the room means an indirect path? Or is it all direct?
Means, no, it's indirect in that you're... See, direct means you see Krishna. Right? Indirect means that you're seeing basically the material energy, right? But now, in the indirect can be uplifted, so it gives effect like direct by seeing Krishna in the indirect, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, he gave an example of cars. He likes cars. Okay. So, but if you think about it, it's not the car. It's the experience gained from the car that's interesting, not the car itself. Right? So that experience, that's Krishna. Otherwise, how does dead matter give you an experience? Right? Your soul, your spiritual, dead matter is something else. There's no connection. Right? You know, like taking this rock, rubbing it on here and going, ooh, good taste. Yeah, very nice. You know, I like the silica, you know, it gives a little zing, you know. No connection. You know? Does that make sense? Right? So that's why Krishna says directly and indirectly you have to understand him. Because directly is what is best. But since you're not absorbed in direct, therefore you see him in the direct that you are indirectly distracted from Krishna by. Right? In other words, when you see Krishna in the name, you see Krishna in the deity and all these services, that's direct. But in our day-to-day life and things like that, you're sitting there and looking in the mirror and checking if your hair's nice. That's indirect. You're seeing dead matter. But if you understand the principle of aesthetics, that's Krishna, then your indirect starts to become purified. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about, and that's to the degree we're talking about it. Right? We're not talking about this in more obvious forms. We're talking about in the subtle. Because the obvious, the devotees have tried, but sometimes they stop doing it. Why? Because they don't catch the subtle. And because of that, then they end up still with the indirect, but it's not connected to Krishna, so it doesn't give them any benefit of being indirect. Right? I drive the temple car for Krishna, so I'm doing that. But then problem comes up with the temple management and this and that, and I'm not so satisfied working with them, so I'm still going to drive my car, but now I'm not driving for Krishna. Right? So now where's the service? The service before was, I drive Krishna's car. So it becomes service. So the indirect turns into direct. Does that make sense? But because my conditioned nature is to drive cars, therefore when I'm not driving the temple car, I'm driving my own car for my own satisfaction. No service. Then it's a problem. Then, as mentioned, I lead a dual life. I'm a devotee, but I do all these things separately. But the point is directly and indirectly, I drive the temple car, it's service for Krishna, but why do I drive the temple car and not do something else? Because I like driving cars. I like driving cars because the experience I get from that is what I like, but that experience is Krishna. Then directly and indirectly, I'm seeing Krishna, I'm getting the benefit. Then it's strong. Then one won't leave devotional service. That's the point. If one understands this, one never leaves devotional service. Because you understand there is no material activity. So if there's no material activity, how do you leave devotional service? Right. Yes?
Well, this is what Krishna explained in the Chatusloki as Dushyanti Charamanti Chat. The Prabhupada explained at the beginning we feel the pleasure in the service, and after the pleasure is in the transcendental.
Yeah, you could say that. Because the service means, in other words, the experience that you're getting from an activity is Krishna anyway. But when you're connecting it to Krishna, you recognize Krishna, which is the important thing. But you may not have seen the connection between Krishna and the activity metaphysically. You've seen it that I'm doing this for Krishna, so that's simple. It works. I drive the car for Krishna, I'm very happy. But you're not seeing it that the pleasure that you're getting from driving the car is also Krishna. Because the higher principle is I'm driving for Krishna as a person. So therefore, I don't notice the driving for Krishna, the car, and that the experience of that is a Brahman manifestation of Krishna. Because Brahman's lower than Bhagavan. So therefore, it's not a problem. But it's only a problem when in those things we're not connecting, we're not seeing Bhagavan. Because otherwise, think of all the things that you do in the day. Just stopping here because this is dangerous. See, because this thing is, it's like a razor. You get a great shave, you get cut very badly. These are your options. So you use it nicely, it works very perfectly. Don't use it nicely, it can be bad. That's why these things aren't so much emphasized. Does that make sense? This particular kind of discrimination. Because if you're conscious of the thing, let's say I'm conscious of something, right? Prabhupada says, first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. Then it's kind of like, what does that got to do? No, I just be... is that unless you can be conscious of what it is that you're getting from an activity, how can you see Krishna in it? If you can be conscious that I'm getting this feeling from this activity, then you're conscious enough to know that that feeling is Krishna. So only if you're conscious can you be Krishna conscious. You're not conscious, you can't be Krishna conscious. But the point is, if you have the proper knowledge, your consciousness is Krishna consciousness. But that's the point, is devotees will be Krishna conscious, but at the same time, not actually be that conscious. But what they are conscious in, they've connected to Krishna. But the subtleties, they haven't. Right? And if you use, you know, the bourgeois methods of volume is more important than quality. Right? Quantity is more important than quality. That's Vaishya and Shudra concept. Numbers is more important, therefore vox populi. Many people say it's important, right? But to a Brahmin, it doesn't matter how many people say it's right, it's wrong. Right? Political correctness is, to Brahmins, is absolutely as your own personal determination, is one of the most stupidest things, platforms you could take. If you are politically correct and believe it, you are a fool. An absolute, total fool. If you use political correctness as a tool in Krishna consciousness, that's clever. But if you're not, if you actually believe in it, you're a fool. You are a big, big fool. And we don't care what kind of letters are behind your name. You know, if they start with B, they start with M, or they start with P. You are a fool. An absolute, total idiot. Right? It's called Mayaya Apritigyana. Very intelligent, but stupid. Because you didn't come to the right conclusion. Right? Yes?
How do you keep his mind instead of enjoying Krishna through the activities, you constantly?
Be aware of it. That's the thing. First, be conscious. Be conscious that it's there. Because the point is that if you understand it's Krishna, that is the enjoyable thing, you're connected to Krishna. So therefore, even though it's your enjoyment, still you're connecting to Krishna. But when it's your enjoyment, that's called neophyte. Right? When it's actually, that enjoyment is Krishna. You know, I mean, in other words, I'm enjoying it, that enjoyment is Krishna. And therefore, I try to engage that properly, right? Then that'll be the Madhyama. So it's just a matter of how you view it. But unless you're aware of it, how you'll see it, right? In other words, anything that I get that I call substance or real in my life, that's Krishna. It's not something else. But if we recognize it as Krishna, we are purified. We don't recognize it as Krishna, then we're bound. Right? If in following it, we're following piety, then we'll be bound in a nice way. Right? And if we're following impiety, we'll be bound in an improper way. But if we're connecting it to Krishna, then we're not bound. We're freed. Like that. So the whole point is being conscious. And that's what education is for, is being conscious. In other words, all of you are here to learn to become conscious. Right? If you're sitting here because we're supposed to do this, that's nice. But if you're sitting here because you want to learn how to be conscious, then you get the maximum benefit from it. Does that make sense? Right? So then that's the whole point, yes.
The state of consciousness is again maintained by the process.
Yes, it's maintained by the process. Means, in other words, how do you get it? It's as simple as you want it. That's all. The bottom line is you want it, you can have it. Right? Because if we take it that out of the 24 elements, actually the 16 is more important, right, than the gross. Right? Isn't it? The gross is not the important. It's the mind and the senses and sense objects. But of the senses and sense objects, then it's the mind that's the most important. And what does the mind do? It accepts and rejects. So if we accept Krishna and we reject Maya, we want to accept Krishna, we want to accept reject Maya. You know, in other words, we've accepted the principle of becoming Krishna conscious. That's what's going to make it work. So one could say, well, that's so simplistic. You know, I want something that, you know, I can go feel the burn, you know, like that. You know, in other words, it can't be medicine if it doesn't taste bad. Or it can't be, you know, medicinal if it doesn't hurt. So therefore, it can't be beneficial spiritually if there's no pain. But the point is everything you do is 50-50. So there will be pain, there will be pleasure. Right? So you don't have to worry that only if it's pain. It can also be nice things that, you know, you advance with, right? A nice kirtan is nice. You don't have to, you know, like that. Prasad can be nice. It can taste nice, and you can go back to God. It doesn't have to taste bad. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's the whole thing, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Is that clear? Yes.
How can you make your appreciation of Brahman over to Bhagavan?
How do you make your appreciation of Brahman over to Bhagavan? Because we know that the Brahman's coming from Bhagavan. That's why Purusha Shukta is the central hymn of the Vedas. The whole Veda expands from Purusha Shukta. Right? Because in there you have the Supreme Lord before the creation do the creation. Right? So you understand how he has entered everything. So then you know that whatever potency is there, that is Krishna. So when you understand that this potency or this experience, this is Krishna, then you'll remember Krishna. Right? In other words, only understanding that from the universal form, that's for the impersonalists. Because you take them from gross matter, I reject, and all these things that actually that experience, that's Brahman. Right? So that's a lower standard. But we are trained in Bhagavan, so therefore Brahman automatically becomes Bhagavan. But we go through a mechanical process. Right? So this process is important. Why do I do it? Because I'm supposed to do it. Right? I'm supposed to, you know, follow the sadhana. Therefore, I do all the different things. I'm supposed to do that. But with time, you like to do it. So that's the difference between Vaidhi and Rag. It's the same thing. Right? So in the beginning, I do the activity. Then afterwards, then I think, well, actually, what I got from that activity was Krishna. Then I connect it. But with time, then it's, while it's going on, then you see Krishna in it. Then, with more time, you just see Krishna. And just activities you just do for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Mara, you were saying the other day in the class how all the organs are important, especially the senses, even evacuation. And the Purusha Shukta, and also in the Thousand Names of Vishnu, said, the Lord who created evacuation, the Lord who created the sense of smell. And he has names like Krishna, the source of the smell, Krishna, the source of the evacuation. Mm-hmm. Without the evacuation system, without the kidneys, we will die immediately. We eat. Mm-hmm. It's his kindness, he creates everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything is connected to his kindness. Yeah. So how not to see Bhagavan and everything?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Okay. So time is up.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.